And now you are listening to the Rock and Roll and Coffee Show. Here are your hosts, Joe and Nick.
Episode 3 of the Rock and Roll and Coffee Show. Welcome back, everyone. Nick, hello.
How's it going, Joe?
It's going all right. We're on episode 3 already, huh?
Episode 3, yep. Who do we got coming in today?
We're going to have Brace. We'll be talking to Brace today.
Now he's
front of house engineer, monitor engineer, all kinds of live audio stuff.
So he used to do the audio for Big Machine when you were in that band, right?
Yeah, that's how I met Brace. He was our sound guy. So he did our sound at our shows. And it's been a long time since I spoke to him, too, just like John last week. Probably about 15 years or so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's give him a call. Let's get this show started, huh?
Yep.
Oh, you know what else? I just got an email today that we are now on iHeartRadio podcasts.
iHeartRadio. Very cool.
So we should be on, I think that's all of them. I think that's the only one we weren't on. So catch the show at any of your favorite podcast platforms. Let's call them.
Cool.
Hey, this is Brace.
Hey, man, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Nice.
Hey, Brace, how you doing?
Reasonably well. How about yourselves?
Oh, pretty good. Considering. Good.
Exactly. We're having some technical issues here again.
Yeah. Every week there's something different.
It sounds pretty clear so far on my end.
I don't understand what's happening. It's a little choppy on our end, but
yeah, we're getting chopped.
So how the hell are you? It's been a long time.
Yeah, shoot, what was it? St. Paddy's Day 2006 was the last gig I did with you.
I think so. That was a Big Machine show there.
Yeah, I think parking lot out front of a bar. And
didn't both my bands play that night?
Yes.
Yes, you did sound for both of us, right?
I think so. I may have had one of my students mix your band.
What was that? Last Great Hope too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was I think that was the only time I ever played two shows in one night. So Brace, what have you been up to? It's been, like you said, a long time.
Yeah. So after that, I went to work for Claire Global, one of the largest touring sound companies in the world. And I spent 7 years with them as a monitor tech, and I did a bunch of tours.
Yeah, Joe sent me a list of what you've done. You worked with a lot of big names.
Yeah, eventually I guess I kind of started out with big names because that's their major clientele, as well as providing opening act packages.
And you did start out with me, so I'm a pretty big name.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we did play CBGB, so that was something.
That was a night to remember.
Yeah. Basically my gig on that was whatever tour I got sent out on as the monitor tech, my job was to make sure that the headliner was taken care of as far as the system working, and then their engineer would mix monitors for them. And then if there were any opening acts that didn't have a monitor engineer, I would take care of them. And that was probably the highlight of my day right there, was working with the opening acts.
Was that nerve-wracking?
Not usually. It was a very fun experience because a lot of these bands are coming from the smaller clubs, and now they're playing arenas or amphitheaters, in some cases some stadiums, and learning experience for them. So it was good to kind of be like, hey, you might want a little bit of kick drum in your monitor just to help with your rhythm. Hey, you might want a little bit of the guy on the other side of the stage just so you guys can hear each other. So it was always good, especially bands that were making that transition to in-ear monitors. Lots of fun.
Cool.
Yeah. You ever have the band, any arguments?
That's what I was just going to say. The bands treat you good?
For the most part. Yeah. I mean, there are some that I could have done without. But you know, it comes with the territory in some situations. So you just handle it the best you can, try to be as professional as you can. And
yeah.
At the end of the day, it's usually high fives as they walk off stage.
Right, right. So now when we were working together, I'm trying to remember, were you in school at that time or were you teaching?
I was teaching. So what I was doing was I was teaching the hands-on labs. So anywhere between 5 p.m. and 9 a.m., I could have been teaching a class on how to mix monitors for a band or how to fly a PA system or you name it, patching a stage. And then whenever I would do gigs, I would bring some students out with me. So that was always fun.
Did you do that,
at Full Sail, right?
Yeah, that was at Full Sail.
Right.
Did you do that only for live bands, or did you do anything in the recording part of it or anything?
No, I stayed I stayed away from the studio side of things. When I graduated college, it was like, yeah, I want to be a studio engineer. And then I kind of started getting more into it and being in it. And I was like, you know, this isn't not what I imagined.
Yeah.
So I went and worked on cruise ships for a year doing sound lights and everything else as far as a stage manager goes. And I found out that I liked doing live shows a whole lot more. So,
right,
a lot more spontaneity, a lot more
excitement,
problem
yeah.
solving.
Yeah, did you ever have any big problems?
No,
where you knew it was a problem, but were trying not to lead on that it was a problem.
Well, if you call the cruise director coming over to you, handing you a flashlight, saying that there's a fire in the boiler room,
that's a problem.
That's a
big problem.
try not to freak out and let the passengers know everything's going to be cool. It's not the first time it's happened.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that would be a problem.
Those were the days.
Now, I was looking at some of the people you've been out with. You've been out with some pretty big names. John Mayer?
Yeah. I did a Summer Shed tour with him. That was the first tour that I did with John. And it was really cool. We did I would say almost a week worth of rehearsals because he got a new monitor engineer and some new members of the band just to fill out this last little run. It was the end of the Continuum cycle. And I remember we set up everything and he came in a day before the rest of the band. And the only thing I knew was Wonderland and Slow Dancing in a Burning Room. Those were the songs that I had heard. I didn't do any of my usual research, and I was like, we'll see what happens. I only saw the pop side of it. So he came in, his guitar rig was set up, and I picked up a guitar, and he started playing some blues riffs, and I was listening, and I was like, you know, this is going to be all right. And it turned out that I got requested back for the next world tour, and it was probably the best tour that I've done ever, mostly because of the people. The crew made it the best.
Nice. Did you like being on the road a lot?
I did.
Yeah.
And then I got married and it was like, you know what? I think I want to settle down.
Yeah.
This traveling is getting to me. So I got off the road in 2013 and I went back to Full Sail and I was teaching as a course director. So I was doing the lectures primarily and had several lab instructors that would take care of the hands-on portion of it. So it was nice to get off the road in a comfortable way.
Yeah. Is that what you're doing now? Are you teaching now or what are you doing now?
No, now I'm the product manager for Production Resource Group North America.
Okay.
When we're working and everybody is working, I work with a nationwide team of technicians to come up with standard operating procedures for making sure that when gear returns from a rental, that is properly checked and in working order for the next rental.
Right.
So we do some rock and roll stuff, but the bulk of the business is, at least in the Orlando area, it's conventions. because we have one of the largest convention centers.
Right. And you're so that's where you're at now, Orlando.
Yep. Right back where this whole thing started.
Right. So this shit show we have going on around the world right now is probably really affecting you, right?
Oh yeah. The convention industry and the touring industry probably the first to get hit because of the nature of our gatherings. It relies on people being there and the travel involved with it, not only for the participants, but also for the crews, for the guest speakers, that sort of thing. And same thing in touring. If you're doing a one-off at a convention, you got to bring in a band and all of their crew. So it's rough.
Yeah.
A lot of people are hurting.
Yeah. Let's hope we all get back to normal soon, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think that's something that people don't realize in the, that aren't in the industry is how many people this is actually affecting in the entertainment.
And there's a great push from all of the rental houses, all the production companies to get a lot of help with the CARES Act and the stimulus package to make sure that people aren't really, really thrown out.
Right.
So.
And well, see how it goes.
Yeah, and I heard there's more money coming, so hopefully.
And it'll be different. It'll be way different for a good long time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Thousands of thoughts going through my head. Like, one of the things I was thinking about, probably, I think it was last night as I was washing the dishes, my thinking time, was that, you know, when we come out of this and we start doing live shows again, singers, buy yourself your own microphone.
Exactly.
Right.
Don't share that crusty old microphone that's in the mic box at the club with anybody else. So it's a thing.
Oh, yeah. Things will be different.
I guess you probably shouldn't be singing on the same mic with your guitar player either, huh?
Probably
not.
Do
they still do that? Does John Mayer do that?
No. Last I saw him, he was sticking to his own microphone. I think all the bands stuck to their own.
Oh man!
You used to share a mic with Doug Joe, didn't you, all the time?
I don't think we've done that one time.
You're a great singer, though.
I am a good singer. Brace can tell you. He mixed my voice.
Yeah.
Hey, remember when we were when we went up to CBGB's? You got up. You didn't travel up there with us, did you? I always wondered this. When did you show up there? Because all of a sudden, I just saw you at the club.
I flew up the day of the show.
Oh.
Yeah, I think you guys had some other stuff going on and flew up, did the show, loaded out. There was a bunch of backline from SIR up there. So that all got packed up, and they came and picked it up. And then Stuart and I walked back to the hotel. I think Kelly and I and Stuart walked back to the hotel carrying a bunch of guitars through New York City.
Right.
Yeah. I got in, got out, and the next morning I flew back to Orlando.
So you were literally there for a day?
Yeah. Maybe even less.
So how many shows did you do with Big Machine?
I think we did the, this is going to sound bad, but we did the required 10 shows.
Okay.
I think we had to do 10 shows for
is that all you did?
Exposure. Joe? We did it for exposure bucks.
Yeah.
Well, you got to remember, we were just, we were kind of like new kids on the block. We were just kind of put together. Just
put together, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To do those songs and then thrown out there.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It was a fun time.
Yeah, I wish I would have went to see you guys play. I never did, though.
That first show at Chrome in Sarasota, that was a blast.
Yeah. Yeah, that one, and I remember opening for Jackal. That was a cool one. There was one down in Fort Myers outdoors at a festival.
Yeah, that was like a radio station show or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, we had some good ones in those 10 shows.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm looking at your list here that you sent me of all these people you worked with, because I'm curious about some of them.
I see that New Kids on the Block. Is that what that is? NKOTB? Yeah.
Yeah, that was so I was wrapping up the first summer run with John Mayer, and I got the call saying, hey, your next assignment is going to be New Kids on the Block. And I was like, really? So that was a big surprise.
Yes.
Well, it's funny that that was the tour that my wife and I started seriously dating on. And turns out that she was a huge fan of the band. So whenever I was near Buffalo or Toronto, she would come out to the shows. So that was always awesome. And that was a great tour. We called that one the Twice Around the Block Tour, because that was their reunion in 2008 and 2009. And the tour sold so well that it started off with two nights in Toronto, one night in Montreal, and then we went back to Toronto. And then we went around the rest of the country clockwise, and we ended up back in Toronto to do it a second time around the country clockwise. And that was a hell of a run. That was good. I think there was a spot in there where we did 6 days of travel and shows, and we were supposed to have one day off in the middle and then four more days of travel and shows, and something got messed up and it ended up being 10 days in a row.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Good times. But you're in your routine and it's the same stuff every day. It's just a different office.
But that what about Gaga?
That was cool. So she was just hitting her stride in the U.S. Just Dance was like her hit and is all over the charts and all that. And so she was the first opening act. And she didn't have a monitor engineer. She didn't have a front of house engineer either. So it was a system engineer taking care of her at front of house and myself at monitors. And that was really cool, because it's kind of neat to see an artist that was like, all right, she's just starting. Let's see where this goes. And through the whole tour, you could see the crowds intensify as we progressed through the tour and her career was really taking off.
She's got some pipes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
She can sing.
Oh, indeed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was always fun to it was always fun to mix. And I found that there have been several female vocalists that have been fun to mix, because they were a challenge to keep their vocals. Like, they're such powerful singers, but you got to keep them in the pocket, either for monitors or for front of house.
Right.
Just so that they don't get too far ahead of the mix.
Right, right.
Yeah. Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm. Holy cow.
Yeah. She's got a powerful voice, yeah.
Yeah. The first show I did with them, I was like, whoa, my first priority is definitely keeping her in the pocket and getting her taken care of, and then the rest of the band fills in.
Hmm. So you really got to pay attention, I guess, right. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds stressful sometimes.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Early in my career, I was like, you know what? The monitor guy has it really, really tough. He's got the toughest job. He's got to take care of all these people on stage. And then as I started doing front of house more, and when I got off the road and I kept doing my House of Blues gig, and I started doing more front of house there, and was like, you know what? The front of house guy has a pretty busy job too. Not only does he have to take care of one mix, but he's got all these different areas that may not be the best sounding in some situations. It may sound completely different in the pit. It may sound completely different in the balcony. And trying to find the right mix to make it fluid between those separate zones, if you run into some fun situations or fun systems. I remember one system in Louisiana at a small club that was all in mono. I was like, all right, well, this will be fun. I won't be able to pan anything. I'll just have to really just mix off of EQ and levels. It turned out to be a great show.
I would imagine I would imagine it'd be challenged playing in smaller clubs.
Oh yeah.
Just different rooms every night.
Especially when the systems are underpowered and the crowd gets louder than the band.
Yeah.
That's a good time.
Now, it wasn't back to the CBGB show. Wasn't that a nightmare to mix up there?
That wasn't. That system, call it a Frankenstein system, it was actually pretty smooth. I remember that one being pretty all right. The problem with that was.
I had an issue with that up there.
The problem that I noticed right away was that the only things that worked were the drum fill, the stage right side fill, and the monitor above stage center. Doug, the side fill over by Doug didn't work. Or it was missing a high frequency driver or something.
Oh. So you, okay. Now House of Blues Orlando. So you've done a lot of shows there.
Yep. Done quite a few.
Nick, you remember we saw Creed and who was it? Creed and
at the Nick? House of Blues?
Yeah. We went up there.
Did we see Creed there?
It was Creed. We went with Carrie. We took Carrie there.
I know I saw Alter Bridge there. That wasn't the House of Blues, was it?
Yeah. Finger 11.
Was it Finger 11?
Creed and Finger 11 at the House of Blues in Orlando. It was the night Carrie got really sick. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he kept throwing up. Yeah. He threw up in the cab.
Oh, man. So you're going back to House of Blues if once shows get going, or?
I pretty much fill in whenever I'm needed, just in case they run short-staffed on engineers. I'll get a call or an email saying, hey, can you do a gospel brunch? And I actually love doing the gospel brunches. It's a good time because it's a fine balance of church and full-on gospel rocking. And I've got it down to a system where you kind of ease the audience into the mix because they just got done eating this big old Southern brunch. And now you're throwing a full-on gospel band in their face. And a lot of people just get right into it. But other times you just kind of got to ease the older generation into it sometimes. So
the gospel brunch, I've always seen those advertised, but never knew what happens in those. So
yeah,
what do they
cool.
actually do? What goes on?
45 minutes of eating. So full on all you can eat buffet. Brisket is the bomb. They've also got the lobster mac and cheese, fried catfish, dessert galore. And then halfway through, that's when the gospel show starts. And it's usually a local gospel band, like full on. It could be old school gospel, where you've got the four guys up front singing melodies and harmonies and the backing band behind them. Or it could be a feature performer where it's a solo artist and they've got maybe their background vocalist that they use quite often and then a house band that they've rehearsed with. And it's always a good time. Always a good time.
Seems like it would be. Nick, we need to go.
Let's go.
Let's go to one of those.
And go for a brunch.
I know you're right up the fried catfish alley.
Oh, yeah. Fried catfish.
Yeah. Have you ever done one of those mystery dinners?
I did one in Canada once. That was cool.
What do they do with those?
Well, you have dinner, and then it's a murder mystery. You try to figure out who done it. It's almost like a stage play, but they're in the audience with you.
Okay.
And that was cool. Lots of fun. Yeah.
Sounds fun, yeah. I see another big name on this list, U2.
Yeah, so that was pretty interesting. I did it twice, and only in North America. So the first time It was that they just needed an additional monitor technician because the way the system is laid out for monitors is there's a monitor engineer for Bono, there's a monitor engineer for Edge, and then another monitor engineer for Adam and Larry. So three guys taking care of four primary band members plus Terry, who is their keyboardist, who usually is underneath the stage. And so it just came down to, hey, we need an extra person. And I got the call, and our road staff manager asked me where I was, and I said, I'm in Hamilton, Ontario. And he's like, great, I need you to get on the train to Toronto, go meet the crew chief, and you're going to start the tour with U2 for the 360. So that was good.
How exciting was that?
Yeah.
You got that call.
It was, at the time, I wasn't really a big fan of U2. I was kind of like, yeah, I know their hits and all that. But it turned out the second run was where I really got to know the band a little bit more. As the RF tech, I had to go to the dressing room each night and put on their in-ear monitors and make sure everything was good to go before they hit the stage. So that was really eye-opening, and a good group of guys.
And you got to play with their ears.
Yeah. You have to stick things in their ears. Well, but that was another great tour, great crew, and it was a good time, a really good time. Probably the most stressful thing was in the middle of the tour, we had to pack up most of the monitor gear, put it on a plane, band and crew got on it, flew from the U.S. to the U.K. to do Glastonbury, and then flew back to rejoin the tour that was in progress. So that was a logistical feat of magic, and we pulled it off.
Man, that really doesn't sound fun.
It was a lot of lost sleep, but we made up for it on the airplane.
How was Justin Bieber? You guys hang out?
No, not at all. That was another call. I'm in Orlando. I'm on my way to the gym, and I get a call saying, hey, how soon can you be at the airport? And I said, give me 2 hours. So I get on a plane. I think I flew into Boston, and it was just a very short run. Basically, the Christmas radio festivals, and they just needed somebody to come in and deal with the RF, the wireless mics and wireless in-ears, making sure that the coordination was right at these festivals. Because some of them, the festival just didn't have an RF coordinator. It was every band for themselves. So we would go in, we would set up, because he was pretty much the headliner at all of these. And we'd go in, I'd set up our frequencies, get them dialed in, and then the other bands would have to work around it. And if they needed help, I helped them out. And in other situations, they had an RF coordinator, and it was good times, real good times from a technical standpoint. We had some logistical travel issues with flights getting canceled, but wasn't anything that prevented us from getting to a gig. But it was interesting to see the crowds, because once it got going, it was like, I'm putting my in-ears in and I'm just letting them do the job of blocking out the screaming.
Right. Now, it sounds like you know your shit, Brace.
I know a little bit of stuff.
Just a little.
I can't even get my telephone to work on my two-channel mixer here.
Yeah, we can't figure out how to get a call-in guest from a telephone. So.
Gotcha. You may need a telephone interface.
I don't know what's going on.
There you go, Joe. See, a telephone interface.
I don't think that exists, does it?
Are you using analog lines or voice over internet?
I'm using, I have no idea.
Gotcha.
Part of the problem.
We just wing it.
Well, we'll take that part offline and we can talk about that later.
We can talk about it right now.
We've been trying for weeks. We can't figure it out.
Well, so far, Skype seems to be working.
Right, yeah, Skype? Skype works fine.
Yeah,
Here's the problem, though. I don't want a guest to have Skype.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I like them just to be able to talk on their phone.
Just call in and we call them.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out if you've got VoIP. Is your phone service over your cable internet provider, or is it a legit analog line?
No, it's analog line.
Wow. That's pretty sweet. Cool, that gives us something to work with.
There you go, Joe.
Because there's still a few of those analog interfaces that are floating around. I'll have to do some research and find one for you.
Yeah, anything that will help. But yeah, Skype's working fine for now.
So what have you been up to since Big Machine?
Well, you know, after Big Machine, I went out to California.
Yep.
And I lived out there for a while, not doing music, didn't really do anything out there. But then I had a son and decided to move back east because that's where family was. So we packed up, moved back east. And I just been working, really. Lucky to still have a job right now, to be honest with you.
Nice.
Nothing real exciting. Not like touring with Justin Bieber.
Joe wants a tour with the Biebs.
Justin Timberlake, he was on your list too.
Yep. So that was another good one. We did, I went back to back Justin to Justin. And that was at the start of the 2020 experience. And we went into rehearsals and real quickly started doing one-off shows with a little thing in New Orleans for a Super Bowl party. Then right back into rehearsals for the Grammys. And from then on, it was just one-off after one-off. And the kickoff to the Legends of the Summer tour that he did with Jay-Z, that was basically the Yahoo Wireless Festival. And that was our first full production rehearsal of the tour, was the third night of the Yahoo Festival, where both of the guys did their sets. And that was pretty crazy. Because we would go in, we did the first night of the festival with Justin, and then immediately after his set finished, we turned it around for Jay-Z's band. And we were probably there until 3 a.m. Then we came back at about 8 a.m. to wrap up any loose ends and get Jay-Z's band sound checked. And then the rest of the festival happened throughout the day while we went back to our hotel and slept. And then we came back later in the afternoon, turned it around for Jay-Z's set. And when his set ended, we turned it back into the Jay-Z and Justin set. And repeated that process, and then finally did our first run through. But the best thing about that whole scenario of we're at this festival and we're doing two separate sets and then we're doing one big super set was they had Nando's backstage for catering.
Did what?
Nando's chicken.
Nando's? I don't know
never,
that.
Oh, never heard of it. Good where, chicken?
Good where are chicken. They, where are they located?
Primarily in the in Europe, the UK. Okay. But there's a few places in the Northeast. And I've seen their sauces in Publix in Florida. So I can get a little bit of it around here. So if you ever get the chance, check out Nando's.
How do you spell that?
N-A-N-D-O. Apostrophe S.
Okay. I'll check. I'm going to check our Publix up here. I'm out in South Carolina now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just got Publix, which was pretty exciting.
Nice.
Can't beat Publix.
Pub subs. Good times.
Now working with all these big names, if something really messed up, did any of them really get pissed off or give you a hard time or anything like that?
You know, things happen, and in the heat of the moment, some tempers can flare. Yeah. Like I said, at the end of the day, it's usually high fives as everybody's right, walking off the stage.
Yeah.
If you can think fast and fix it on the fly, it's much appreciated.
Yeah.
I would say the craziest thing that I've seen, I think we were at Harrah's in Atlantic City. I was with Van Morrison at the time, just a short little run. And it just so happened that he is a very acoustic listener. So the stage volume, his monitor wedges aren't super loud because he's listening to everything in its placement on stage. And it turned out that the kick drum was several feet off of center from where he likes it, basically directly behind him. So in the middle of the set, we actually had to get the string section, I think there was maybe three of them, off of their riser, slide their riser a little bit to the left, and while the drummer is playing, we slid him over those few feet to line him up directly behind Van Morrison.
Oh,
and then the show continued on. That was probably the craziest thing.
Yeah.
So you had to slide the drummer. Now, was he on a... How'd you do that?
He was on a riser with wheels.
Oh, well.
That helps.
Yeah, so we just had to unchock the
wheels.
You
shouldn't have told me that. You should have told me that you had to put little sliders under every cymbal stand and slide it all at once or something.
Maybe. Just like in the way the pyramids were built.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was an experience.
Now, I think... you have some children now, correct?
Yeah. I've got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. I would say they're exactly, just for rounding it up, 3 years apart, almost to the day.
Right.
3 years minus 3 days and some change.
It's a little crazy at your house.
Yeah, a little bit. Interesting fact, though, they were both born in the same room at the hospital.
Did you set that up?
Did not set that up at all. Just wow. Purely coincidental. But, yeah, pretty awesome. It's interesting to see their dynamics as having two kids in the same house goes. For the longest time, it was just our daughter, and she got into her ways of this is how it is, this is my world, and now there's this other guy here, and what's he doing? Oh, he's got that. Now I want that. It's interesting, but they love each other to death.
Yeah.
He's her little shadow. He'll copy her, and sometimes she'll copy him. So.
Now, does she get pissed off when he's copying her?
Not really.
No?
I think she thinks it's kind of cute.
See, I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old boys, and then I have a 2-year-old daughter. And the 6-year-old will copy the 8-year-old, and that starts a fight every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting now because our daughter is doing the distance learning, as they call it, in Florida. But basically, her class is semi-live online in the mornings for pre-kindergarten. So it's interesting to watch him kind of peek up and look at the computer screen and kind of mimic what she's doing, and I think it'll be really cool. It's kind of an interesting science experiment to see if it accelerates his learning, and it kind of feels like his speech is vocabulary is just skyrocketing right now because he's kind of been shadowing her. So it's cool to watch them learn. Yeah. It's also cool to watch them solve their own problems.
I'm surprised mine haven't stormed in on us yet.
I'm surprised you guys haven't said that you could hear my kids.
Well, I could. I just didn't say anything. Yeah.
We heard them.
All right, then.
It's all good, though.
Yeah.
I bet they're going stir crazy having to stay at home all the time, huh?
We kind of
keep them busy.
We try to keep them as busy as possible and keep them on a somewhat routine. So there's school in the morning. And since I'm home as well, I try to keep the little one in the living room while his sister is at the computer and doing her thing. But then when it's time for YouTube University, where there's a suggested video link and there's song and dance. That's when the two of them get together. Mm-hmm. After school time is done, then we go outside, spend a good couple hours outside every day just playing. And sometimes they'll help me with some of the stuff like cleaning the pool filter or just watering the grass. They love being sprayed with the hose. So that's fun. It gets them out of the house and running and exercising. And it's nap time for the little one, and big sister gets to watch some TV. And rinse and repeat the next day.
Yeah, that's the key, routine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got mine. My kids got off of their routine and started going to bed later since they didn't have to get up as early.
Mm-hmm.
And it went to hell.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, so just this past week, I got them back on their schedule.
Yeah, we're a little off schedule where they're going to bed later. But they're still getting up around the same time.
Right. That's what was happening.
So, yeah, mom and dad don't get to sleep in at all.
Ew. All right. Well, Brace, it was good talking to you. You still go by Brace or you going by Jason? What are you going by these days?
I still go by Brace because there's still a lot of us Jasons floating around.
It's just there's only one Brace.
Yeah. I found out that there are some people that have Brace as their first name. It's kind of threw me for a loop. I was like, hey, you're Brace. How are we related? And the response was, Brace is my first name. Whoa. Holy cow. All right, then.
Yeah. Well, listen, next time I'm down in the area, I'm going to hit you up and we'll see if we can meet up or something.
Yeah, for sure. That'd be cool. And I get up to Nashville every once in a while, get to Atlanta. If we open up a shop in South Carolina, I'll let you know.
Cool. I need a job.
You bet.
Just kidding. Maybe by then I'll have my phone being able to record.
Copy that.
Well, maybe we'll figure it out by then.
Well, I do have a lead on some places that rent telephone interfaces, so we can get you set up.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, it was good talking to you.
You too.
Take care. Stay safe.
Take care,
Brace.
And thanks for coming on. And
you bet.
Telling all your stories, very interesting.
Yeah, I'll try to come up with I'll try to remember some more flavorful ones if we do this again.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Right on.
All right, bud. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Take care, man. Take care.
Stay safe.